every single week, I look back at the week. What did I like about the week? What worked? What didn't work? How did I feel when I was doing it? And I course correct every single week. It's about giving yourself that freedom to breathe and have flexibility. And then you act in integrity. And nothing feels better than that, by the way, because you know that you can depend on yourself to make good choices for you. Hello and welcome to Spiritually Hungry.
Hi, Monica.
Spring has sprung in New York City.
Yes.
And with that change in weather, it usually reminds us to be aware of our thoughts. For me, it wakes me up whenever this weather. Yeah. With anything external that changes around me, I always become a little bit more introspective, which I think is important, which is part of what today's podcast is about. So we want to talk about...
Can we share a little bit with our listeners?
Sure. I love to share.
So Monica and I, of course, we do our best to prepare before the podcast. And this morning, this afternoon, pretty close to when we were going to record, because Monica and I had a conversation last week about which topic we're going to record this week with next week.
And we were really, really clear about what would be this week. And then you tried to change it on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought I did.
Saying... No, let's do this. And I said, well, I've already given this thought and I've somewhat prepared for it. So we'll do the one we said, which is on rituals, 5 daily rituals to make sure you're having a great day. And then you wanted to up and change it. And I said, okay, great. Let's do that one the week after. And you said, okay.
Yes. So I had prepared for next week's podcast, which is going to be amazing as well.
So we're sitting across from each other and you're like, I can hear what you're kind of like doing. I felt the energy and I looked at you. I was like, well, are we preparing? What do you, I feel like we're going to be really on different spectrums on this topic. Like, I don't even know. I just, the energy I'm feeling right now is we're going to be talking about different things. And you're like, well, yeah. And you mentioned next week's podcast. I'm like, no, that's not what this week is about at all. So luckily you had 10 minutes to think about what you wanted to say.
Yes, yes. Actually, a bit more than that, but I'm also very excited about this. Both the topic and what I have to share.
It would have been really funny if we sat down and discovered it. Luckily, we did. We had a little extra time. We all crave a sense of direction, of happy day, a purpose-filled day. And I think often we wake up or we hope for that, right? That's the intention. Who wants to have a bad day? Nobody. But throughout our day, we're pulled in different directions. Something happens that obsesses, something external. Even if you have a phone call with somebody that was going well, and then suddenly it takes a weird turn and that person starts venting about people and this, that, and you're like,
wait, you had that this morning.
I did. And I got off very quickly, but how did my energy get sucked, right? So this is really more, I think for me, and I'm curious about where you're going to go with it, but the 5 rituals that I really, and I've never really broken it down for people. I often say that throughout my day, I give myself emotional feedback. And I'm emotionally intelligent with myself. So I'm constantly rewriting the day if it's not working, or I check in with myself, making sure I'm doing what I intend to do this day or what I think is the most useful time for me or purposeful thing I can do. So these are the ways that I'm able to guard my consciousness. So for me, and again, I want to hear where you're going to go with it, but
at some point,
when I finish talking, the 5 rituals are really about how to guard your consciousness, because consciousness is everything, right? And then, wake up early, go to sleep early. Those are, I feel like, reactions, but the most important thing is your intention, which only is dictated by your consciousness.
Absolutely. So I'll surprise you. I actually have 6 rituals and then 2 additional ones.
You know what's funny, honey?
Yes.
I have 5 rituals and I have 5 additional ones that I was just going to read off at the end.
You've outdone me.
I won!
So... what you said is very true, but I take it a step further back. I think the biggest problem that every single one of us has, and certainly the world as a whole has, is that if we allow what I would call entropy to dictate our lives, which it is for most people, because we are, first of all, very busy, those of us who have families, those of us who have jobs, those of us who have responsibilities. So life is busy. And more than that, on a deeper spiritual level, there's an understanding that the consciousness of the world impacts the individual. So what is the consciousness of the world? Well, unfortunately, as we see, if you even a cursory look at the news, the consciousness of the world is not that positive. It is not directed at goodness all the time. It is not directed at growth all the time. It's not directed at the benefit of others all the time, and so on and so forth. So the reality is that we do not live our life alone. Whether we live by ourselves in an apartment, we still don't live it alone. We are living within the waves of consciousness that exist in our world. And once you understand that, you understand that unless you're, like you said, safeguarding ourselves, there's no hope. There's no way any one of us, no matter how learned, smart, spiritual we are, that we will not be every single day, I was going to say, in every single moment, almost in every single day, overwhelmed by the very negative consciousness that exists in the world. So when I think about these rituals that I tried to do every single day, and then we're going to share some of them with our listeners, it has to begin with this understanding. It's not, I mean, again, you know, there's always free will and choice, but I can say for myself, I know that if I don't do these things every single day, there's no way that I'm going to live my day to the maximum level that it is meant to be lived. And there's no way that I'm going to be the maximum state of myself as I'm supposed to be. So I think it's important to begin this conversation or this understanding with that understanding that they really don't have a choice. Unless you're doing these rituals, that, in your words, to safeguard yourself or I would say to really pull yourself back from the consciousness of the world and more to the consciousness of your soul, then there's no way that you can possibly expect a great day every day, most days. So that's the consciousness, the thought that I come to this. I think these are not, and whether by the way our listeners choose these exact ones that we share or different ones, it doesn't matter. As long as it begins with the understanding, there's two main reasons why my day is not going to be as it should be. It doesn't mean it's going to be bad, by the way. It might be pretty fine. I'm very busy. I am not always going to be focused unless I take the time to stop and focus on what is really important to me. And second, there is the overwhelming consciousness of the world that is always going to come and interfere and overwhelm and keep us bound to a lower level of ourselves. And therefore, again, I think one of the most constant thoughts that I have is I strongly believe that each one of us has a tremendous potential, tremendous, way beyond even, again, every single person. The distance between who we are and who we are meant to be, who we can be, is great. The only way to possibly begin inching towards that greatness that we all have that potential for is by first doing the things that safeguard ourselves from the consciousness of the world and from the busyness of life.
So this list, for me, it's in no particular order. It's not an order of importance or anything, but I think that the important place to start is really always with self. So for me, and I think that this is a word that people use a lot and they don't really act in it and they don't really necessarily know what it means, and that's integrity. I think that acting with integrity every day, if one is able to do that, is going to ensure that they are doing things in accordance with their soul, that they're not being taken off of the path. So let's define what integrity is. First, I'll tell you one common understanding that Brené Brown has spoken about. She's a researcher on vulnerability and courage. And she says, integrity is choosing truth over convenience, picking your battles and fighting with grace. I think that's absolutely part of it. And I'm going to define what I think it is. But I think the reason people have a hard time with integrity is because on one hand, it's awful to disappoint people, right? So we want to avoid that. On the other hand, it's awful to overextend ourselves because we're afraid of disappointing people. So we find ourselves in this conflux every single day where I don't want to disappoint anybody, but on the other hand, I want to act in my truth. And then we get all confused in that if we don't know what our truth is. Interestingly, I was researching this. People who suffer from depression, one of their biggest expressions of that is that they feel like they're always disappointing people. And of course, there's many other reasons associated with depression, but I think that's interesting that that's the primary emotion that they have. So following through on our commitments is something inherent to our character and integrity. And I think we need to be, again, to that first point we talked about, be more mindful of how we guard our time, who we allow into our space and our environment, and then who we allow to take up rent in our minds, right? I often look at our minds like a home, our thoughts like a home, and you decide who comes in and out. You decide who occupies the room. You decide who lives there rent-free, and that never feels great, right? So I think that for me, the definition is living in integrity is being honest about your capabilities. It's refusing to accept expectations that you never agreed to, right? That happens a lot in life, and people suddenly expect this. Well, who said I wanted to do these things? Who even, when did I volunteer to be that? And the third is managing expectations of other people. And I think that really means honoring yourself. So that's the first part of what integrity is to me. And then there's a Yiddish word called echt, which is meaning to be true, to be genuine, to be authentic. And I think it's hard to do that if we don't know what that looks like, right? We've never lived in a kind of authentic, genuine way.
But how do you make it a ritual, right? How do you...
So I think it's about every single morning, you have to have an intention of, what am I doing today? Why am I doing it? Do I believe in it, right? And so, and by the way, I wake up and I have my schedule for the whole week, right? I've even, because I keep changing it, because when it doesn't work, I'm like, okay, what didn't work about this? But anyway, each day is dedicated to a very specific thing that requires a certain part of my brain and my character and my being. Other days, like Thursdays, are just for meeting people, because I found like I was like a yo-yo feeling like that all day, right? So again, I'm very clear about what I'm doing and it's purposeful and I guard my time. But when it's not working because suddenly, oh, I need your attention. Like we got a call right before I need to speak to you urgently, right before we came on. And so we stopped everything. And so you're going to have those moments in the day. But I think that at least if we start with a very clear intention of what we want to do, why we want to do it, do we believe in it, and how do we feel when we're doing it? Are we overextending? Are we doing it for the right reasons or the wrong reasons? That's really how, that's like the clearest way that you now direct your consciousness instead of reacting to what's external.
So I think that's very important. So what you're saying is to our listeners is that at the beginning of every single day, really think about the big chunks of your day and where you're spending your energy. And really question, right? Or maybe just, you know, make sure that you agree that this is these are the places and the ways in which you want to manifest your energy. Because otherwise, again, like I said in the beginning, you can get into a routine or a busyness that isn't necessarily
what you want,
your integrity
or
what you want.
And then you start acting in ways that are not in accordance to your integrity or character, like staying out too late or drinking too much or eating too much, because you're now participating in a rhythm that's not yours. You're saying yes to things when you should actually say no. Like you can spread those things out over a month rather than doing it every single night of the week, for instance. And by the way, so if I have 1 week that worked well, I'll repeat that. Every single week, I look back at the week. What did I like about the week? What worked? What didn't work? How did I feel when I was doing it? And I course correct every single week. So that's a really big one. And it doesn't sound like, wow, like so groundbreaking, but if you can practice this.
No, I would say most people don't do this, right? Don't do this.
It's just been a game changer for me. And by the way, you know what the outcome was? I feel happier in the day. I feel more fulfilled. Not that my days weren't purpose-filled. They were, but they were just overextending all over the place, saying yes all the time. And sometimes even the more difficult thing and the right thing to do is to say no, not no forever, but no for today, no for this week, and then schedule it in 3 weeks. You know, it's about giving yourself that freedom to breathe and have flexibility. And then you act in integrity. And nothing feels better than that, by the way, because you know that you can depend on yourself to make good choices for you. So that's my number one. What's yours?
My number one is based on a very...
Again, not in order.
Not in order. Mine are kind of in order.
I know
sorry.
They would be, but mine are not.
It's based on a very important understanding that the way the first few moments of our day begin is how the rest of the day will go. And therefore, there's tremendous importance literally to the first few seconds that we wake up.
That's one of mine too, by the way.
Oh,
but
it is?
But that's fine. But you'll do it. And then I'm going to
show
what I think too.
So... if you understand that, right, that the as with anything in nature, the seed of something holds within it everything that will come after. So the first few seconds, the first few minutes of every single day is actually going to make or create how the rest of the day will manifest. So, for example, on the negative side, if a person wakes up and his first thought is anger, disappointment, sadness, then that's going to permeate the rest of the day. Conversely, if a person wakes up, and this is what the ancient Kabbalists recommend, and literally the first thought and the first words out of a person's mouth are words of appreciation and thoughts of appreciation for literally being alive in this ancient prayer meditation, right? I thank the Creator for bringing back my soul into me. If we create the ritual where every single day, the first words, the first thoughts, and the first few seconds and minutes of the day are of overwhelming appreciation, then there's a much, much more likely that the rest of the day will be really permeated with that appreciation. And that is a recipe for goodness to follow throughout the rest of the day. So I would strongly, strongly, strongly recommend, even though I said before that, you know, our listeners are free to, you know, create their own rituals to, as we said, safeguard them and really pull us away from the busyness of life and the consciousness of the world. This is something that I would highly recommend as being a non-negotiable. The first few seconds, the first few minutes of the day are going to influence the whole rest of the day. And the best thought to have is a thought of appreciation. Literally, you know, whether you say it in words, which is a good recommendation, or you think it in your mind, I'm so happy to be alive. I'm so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful that my soul is back in my body and I'm able to think and to speak. And by the way, this can be a 10-second meditation, a 1-minute meditation, or it could be a 20-minute meditation. Again, this I would give our listeners maybe a little bit more leeway. But again, but the Kabbalists say it's good to go literally through every single part of the physical body and awaken appreciation, right? The fact that I can see, the fact that I can hear, the fact that I can smell, the fact that I can speak, the fact that I can walk, the fact that I can feel, and so on and so forth. That's an extension of this ritual. But again, I would strongly, strongly recommend to make sure that the first few seconds, the first few thoughts, the first few words are positive.
It's interesting. So I'll go to what mine was that's similar to yours. I called it find your version of prayer, which is the same thing as appreciating, right? You can meditate, you can be mindful, but it's a practice where it allows you to pause and reflect and to do it first thing in the morning. What's interesting, and you have to do it right when you open your eyes, because if not, you're going to get, again, pulled into so many directions. What I would guess for most people, because I've found this with myself also, and I've learned to correct that, the first thought is, what time is it? Did I get enough sleep? Oh my God, what do I have to do today? Where do I have to be? Are the kids up? Like, my mind, as soon as I open my eyes, it's like goes into like, and I remember I used to like jump out of bed, and that never felt great. My heart would be racing. I'm gonna be late for my workout class. Like, it was just, that was the energy that led me for like, I would say decades. And in the last couple of years, I have really become mindful, even though the first thought still is, what time is it? How much did I sleep? I put my right hand on my heart and then my left hand on my stomach. I close my eyes again. I take a deep breath and I go back into stillness. So I feel like I've just come out of this beautiful stillness. My body's regenerated, you know, organs have rested, digestion, everything's worked. My soul's back in my body. How blessed am I? Back to that, right? And then I, funnily enough, my friend Mary Ruth, who also quoted Mel Robbins, I didn't watch the whole entire thing, if I'm honest, but they kind of like crawl out of bed and lay on the floor. And like, it's this interesting thing, but I think the concept, I hope I'm not misquoting, is that idea of just being still, like one with the ground, with the earth, with the universe. And then I do pray. But I think that moment of stillness is super key. So I would say for our listeners as a tool to strive to listen, ask yourself, and do this every day. What is the first thought that comes to your mind in the morning? Make sure it's the one that you want, right?
Can I add, make sure it's the one of appreciation that I recommended?
Yes. But I'm saying first you have to catch where your thoughts go. And then you can replace it with push that, like I do. I push the time away and yes, you got enough sleep. More importantly, you're here, right? Go back to stillness. And the second is pay attention to the first thing you feel once you're in appreciation. Are you feeling connected? Are you feeling grateful? And I think that feeling actually reminds you then each morning to go ahead and practice that. But I can't say enough how important that is. And then of course, there's 18 blessings. There's different things that each person can do and how they incorporate that. Part of my appreciation is then moving my body. Like, you can put in all your things, but I think that this is the foundation and then everything will rest upon that and support you.
Yeah, I was going to add, because I really do strongly believe, not because for thousands of years the sages have taught this, that you do want to make sure that appreciation is your first thought. And what I would add to that is, we spoke about the appreciation for being alive, but and really, you know, you want to walk through as much as you can. And I strongly recommend through
the whole day, right? Like appreciation to have the freedom to do what you want to do.
Well, I was going to so two things, right? So first, when we talk about appreciation, one of the things that I try to do, and again, maybe you can do this every day or at least, you know, often enough, not just, you know, there's a difference of saying, you know, I appreciate my children, for example, but I would actually take 2 minutes
to think what you
think about. And that's interesting, but like think to a moment, right? I can think of to a moment yesterday. Like it was simple. We were sitting, all the kids in the room together. We were doing something together. Like, and take a minute, 2 minutes to feel that. If you have an appreciation for your spouse, for your partner, not just say, oh, I appreciate my partner, but literally go to a moment and relive. Why are you smiling?
No, because that just reminded me of something yesterday that it's like such a good memory. I think that's such a great, because we are storytellers. So if we can paint a picture, take that and look at that each day. You know, just yesterday I was walking from somewhere and I knew the kids were walking to somewhere else and that there was a good chance we'd meet each other in, you know, in the middle of New York City. And it shouldn't have kind of worked out because I stopped to talk to somebody for 10 minutes. Anyway, our daughter Miriam timed it perfectly. So we met up exactly where I thought we'd meet up and we took the same avenue because we both thought the same thing without speaking about it. But the funny, cute part is that when I saw them, they were all four of them were wearing like just loud t-shirts that were their personality. So like Abigail was wearing a Minion t-shirt and Miriam was wearing a Bugs Bunny t-shirt and David was wearing, I don't even know what it's called, some football something, but like out there kind of thing. And then Josh was wearing a Special Olympics t-shirt and I was wearing my Snoopy t-shirt. And it just, when I saw them, it reminded me of a picture in Back to the Future when the kids are like wearing these like 80s shirts and like, those are my kids. And like, we all just looked like geeked out, but like perfectly. Anyway, it's a cute memory, but that's the thing. That's exactly the point, right?
Right.
Find a moment that made you pause or took your breath away or made you smile just to really feel the appreciation.
Right. Relive it, experience it, not just sort of tick it off as, right, oh, I appreciate my family or I appreciate my spouse or I appreciate, but really, you know, take the time. And in addition to that, I had it as
so
a separate number.
Yeah.
No, so it's related to what we were talking about. So now I'm back to five, which was the assignment. There's a spiritual teaching that says you should awaken appreciation. It uses the word blessing, which is really what is a blessing. A blessing is an appreciation 100 times a day. So they say, they go so far as to say, if you have not awakened 100 moments of appreciation in the day, again, you're not really living the day as it should be. So whether
100, I mean, most people are thinking like,
well, the 100,
10 would be good.
Well, okay, well, maybe you start
or
at
even
10.
Like whatever your waking hour is, if you have one appreciation an hour, you know.
Yeah, but it's not. But just to be clear, it's not like we were talking about a minute ago of sitting in that appreciation. But it literally is, you know,
you take a bite of food,
take a bite of a fruit that you really enjoy. Stop for 1 second.
You see a butterfly.
I'm so appreciative that I get to eat this fruit, mm-hmm, right? You see a butterfly. You see, you know, it doesn't have to be more than 3 seconds, right? But so how much is 300? You know, we're talking about 300 seconds, right? So we're talking about, you know, 5 minutes in a day. But the point is, I take these ancient teachings seriously. And the point is, unless you're experiencing 100 moments of appreciation, unlikely to live your best day. So, okay, again, like Monica said, it's probably maybe a lot for our listeners, but I think it's important to have that goal that I want to, right? I want to live my day with 100 moments of appreciation, 2 seconds of appreciation, 3 seconds of appreciation. But rather than, because again, like we spoke in the beginning, we go through life and life is busy and life is sometimes hard and there's a lot going on, but it's all about how do you protect yourself? Having 100 moments of a few seconds of appreciation before, you know, you're about to have a great meal, you're about to watch a great movie, you're about to go out with a friend and so on and so forth. 2 seconds of appreciation. You will see that not only is it important in a general sense, you'll see the way it starts to change and protect, you know, your positive consciousness.
Yeah. My next one is don't believe your own lies.
A ritual.
Yes.
Okay, I want to
hear
the ritual.
Because I think this is something that happens every single day to people. And those who are not aware of the lies we tell ourselves are consumed by them. And before you know it, you can't tell the difference between fact or fiction. So our inner critic, again, you are an anomaly. Okay. But for most people, it's a relentless voice that whispers doubts and anxieties throughout the day. We have these conversations with many people, right? The secret is you get to choose what to listen to. So it's becoming aware of, again, as I said in the beginning, what thoughts live in your head and how much energy, importance, credence you give it versus saying, okay, I hear you, but I choose not to listen to you. And then you choose something else. So
this is more of a reactive ritual. You're saying when this happens throughout the day, right?
It's not well, it's a way to train your, well, it's happening, right? It's about calling it out in the moment and choosing something else. And before you know it, eventually you change the critic. Now it becomes your greatest admirer and advocate. So you're literally changing the voice in your head. It's how you change the critic to be something that's from negative to positive. So for instance, when we tell ourselves stories, it keeps us fixated on things that are not true. And it also stops us from taking responsibility of what's really going on. Because when you have that voice in your head, right, that's negative. And at first it's towards the self, but then it's also towards everybody else. You know, I didn't do this because of that person. I didn't have the life I wanted because of that person. And this becomes the whole narrative. So it allows you to start telling the true story, right? Because that's the thing with stories. Most people create ones that are not real and they relive that story over and over again. And then that is their day. That is their week. There it is, their months, that is their life. And that's the thing. I mean, maybe it's not even so much the negative voice. I mean, it is, but it's the stories we tell ourselves that are not true. So it's about creating a different narrative and a different script.
But this sounds like a lot of work, right? This sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but I'm telling you, as somebody who's done it, it's more work to lie to yourself every day and relive every painful moment. And then therefore you have a story of victimization or I'm not lovable or this, that, because you are holding on to the negative stories. You can go back to anything that's happened to you in life and you can see it through a different lens. You can see it not as the age or the person or the version of yourself that it happened to, but you can now look at it from the place you are today and say, okay, from all the things I understand, if I look at it from everybody's perspective in that moment, what else can I see? There's always more to a story.
I'm just trying to, I understand that.
Yes.
I'm sure. So for our listeners, right? So we're thinking about the day, right? So how do you recommend we implement this in the day?
So for instance, if you start to hear a narrative in your head, like my boss is a monster, it's an easier excuse than actually having to have a constructive discussion with that person. It's about proactively changing the way that you interact with life and with the people that come into your life. It's about changing how you view from a negative lens to a positive lens.
And do you think people are conscious of the story or the effect of it? Because I, thankfully, not having this challenge so much, you know, do you think most people are thinking, oh, my story is my boss is
okay,
an idiot,
another example.
Or he just told me to stay the 3 hours later.
It's never going
to
be about the 3 hours. It was the 3 hours later and then the week after it was about the vacation time I didn't take. And then I think that if you start to be honest with yourself, right? What else could be happening here? All of my dissatisfaction and all of the stories I'm telling myself that always put me as the victim, okay, instead of the winner or the hero, what else could be there? I think that if you ask the question with an openness to see something differently, you will. So I'll give you another example. Saying your marriage is over instead of paying attention to why your partner is distant is perhaps a less painful alternative to learning what the actual problem is. So it's easier than actually having to do the work of fixing it. I think often we don't know what to do, so we focus on just the effect. The monster, the boss is a monster, is an effect. What are the other things there that you want to see? The marriage being different now, your partner being distant, doesn't necessarily mean your marriage is over. What else is there? I just think so often we accept the lies and the stories we tell ourselves because we're not aware that we're even doing that. But if you pause and honestly, and I really fundamentally believe this, and I know it works because I've done it and I've done it with so many students. You ask yourself each day and you apply the other things we're saying, like acting in integrity, appreciation, being, you know, being mindful every morning, stillness, right? These are all tools to get you to help shift and shape your consciousness. If you every day say, what lies am I telling myself? Am I living a life that's honest? Or in each situation that comes up, especially the most challenging ones, you're going to start to see something else. But you have to know that in my experience of working with people, 80%, 90% of the things that are bothering them, they can't see a way out and they can't even see what the real issue is because they're not willing to be honest with themselves because they think it might be too difficult to deal with or too much work to get on the other side of it.
So tell me if you agree with this. So it sounds like you're saying that a person should do, I don't know if it's a daily audit, but maybe once a day.
It's a daily stop. Audit.
But you can't audit your entire life every single day. I have that, by the way, I have that as something for later. But right, being realistic, right? So it sounds like you're saying, think about one area of life, right? Makes more sense that you have a story about, you know, my marriage is failing, my work is terrible, right? And then
do that part daily. Yes, pick one thing, but then check it daily. Because it's
going
to come up daily.
So talk it through again. So again, you're an expert in relationships. A person has the thought, my marriage is not doing well.
I'll give you an example. A couple.
It's a true life example?
Oh, yeah, okay. It is.
Okay. Don't share names.
He loves her. I would never share names.
I know, I'm joking.
He loves her.
Share names with me afterwards, though.
No.
Okay.
He would be lost without her to his own admission, but nobody pushes his buttons like she does. And his ego, and he's aware, is in the driver's seat all the time to the point where when he pushes the ego away and he throws the lie away that she doesn't love me enough, she doesn't do enough for me, if she did, all those stories, there's so many stories of why she's not enough for him. When he puts that away, he physically, his body hurts, like his bones hurt. He just is, so you have to let go of the lie. What does she owe you? Why does she have to provide for you? If you love her and your life would be horrible without her, then what's the story? The story of she only loves me if she does X, Y, and Z for me. She's only my partner if she cooks for me or she cleans for me, all of that. If he could remove the expectations, he'd actually be quite happy with her. But the removal of expectations is more painful than the lie he keeps telling himself, right?
Or he thinks it's more painful.
He thinks, but he's really believing that lie.
So you would recommend as a ritual, a daily ritual for him?
Every single day. And I have said this, imagine your life without her. So that's it. If it's so painful for you to be with her, then break it off.
Okay.
Right? Or let go of the expectations and just
a daily concentration, meditation, whatever you want to call it, on removing his expectations.
Yes. I know, and you know this, if you want something badly enough, and you make that the primary focus of your day and you put your energy in there and your thoughts and your efforts, are you going to manifest it?
Of course.
Okay. So something, the lie, whatever, the story is not allowing you to do that. I'm just saying for people to get clear on what their story is, what is fact, what is fiction, and then choose accordingly, right? And that's the training. It is a daily ritual.
Right. Understood. Yeah. Now it makes sense. What I'd recommend is that, I know we've only gotten through two of each. We continue this next week.
Oh, the timekeeper's back. You can't do that when we have guests on.
I know, unfortunately. I have all this timekeeping held within me that I haven't been able to exercise.
All right, I'm good with that. But I feel like, sure.
No, honestly, because I think...
Because then I have the five other ones that I'm just going to like go through and not unpack after, but maybe I will unpack it.
Exactly. So as a reminder to our listeners,
but if we're stopping now, then listeners, please do implement these that we gave. So we've given four. You have a lot to think about, and we would love for you to write and tell us what you tried, how it worked, where you failed, because that's also very important. And then we can inspire the rest of the world with your story.
Absolutely. So I just want to really underscore something we said in the beginning, which I think is so, so important. Without some of these, all of these daily rituals, there's no way we can live the life that we're meant to be living. So as Monica recommended, I strongly recommend all of our listeners to begin implementing these, maybe even share with us some of your own rituals and how they transform your life. Because if rituals are working, they're changing your life. They're not just something that you do by rote. And as Monica mentioned, please send your stories, inspirations around everything, but certainly around rituals, how these rituals have worked for you, rituals you have on your own, and any other topics, ideas, questions, inspirations that you want to share with us. As always, make sure to share this podcast with everybody you know. Go to Apple Podcasts, write 5-star reviews, and share maybe these rituals. Even if they don't, your friends, family don't listen to the podcast, they can certainly benefit from some of these rituals and really in improving their lives. We hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Stay spiritually hungry.